Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are so excited about being here with you to encourage you on VFN Radio. We're just glad to spend today with you and knowing that there's not only hope, but there's an exciting future for us. That we're not burying our head in the sand of denial, but we're confronting what really is and shining the light of God's glory upon it, inspiring us to say, oh, yeah, God is with us. If God is with us, then who can be against us? Joining me today to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Also joining us just a little bit later on is going to be John Ramos. Of course, we like coming to you, sharing the hope for the day, the wisdom moments, and just to have a really good time and sometimes looking at some really bad facts, but remembering, hey, through God, all things are possible, and God will protect the good figs. We didn't talk about the other day. We're going to talk about it today. The good figs. Say, I'm a good fig.
I'm a good fig.
I'm a good fig. Nothing like fig preserve.
I don't know about that.
He can preserve the fig preserves. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
In just a few moments, John Ramos will be joining us. VFN Radio. Well, I'll tell you what, it's good to be back. I had a chance to listen to you guys when I was in travels yesterday, and just love to hear VFN Radio. You know?
How about that?
Oh, it's just really cool. I meant, when you started singing, that was the thing. That was the moment. And I realized, oh, I must have slipped to the different channel or something.
Yeah, that was definitely a singing different channel.
Yeah. Well, we're here. Oh, my goodness. What a wonderful day today is, a day that our Lord has created and that we will rejoice and we'll be glad in it. Or another way to say that for today is like, he did it. I'm going to enjoy it. Well, I don't know if you got a chance to see the dinner last night that they have when the presidential candidates come together at the dinner. I forget the initials of the dinner, but it's a particular
Alfred B. Smith.
Yeah, Alfred Smith dinner, and I remember watching President Obama, then Senator Obama, and Senator McCain do the dinner, and of course that was before. Mm-hmm. Senator Obama became President Obama, so he had a lot less concerns. It was a little bit tougher on him, I think, to be humorous.
Yeah, right.
Because he was talking about that he's from the planet Krypton, that he was Superman 4 years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
And this year he's going like, I felt much better in the second debate because of all the rest and sleep I got in the first debate.
This is a little different approach this time.
Yeah, yeah. And it was pretty cool to see that Mitt Romney had a sense of humor talking about, he says, you know, today this is sponsored by Sesame Street or something. Today's letter is O and the number is a trillion.
That's good.
And it's, you know, a little moment of civility, you know, and lightheartedness, you know. But in the context of that is we're still facing this physical cliff. Fiscal cliff, where I called it a physical cliff. To us, it's going to be a physical cliff if we don't wake up.
That's all right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what VFN Radio is about, and VFN TV is not to not to say that we know what's going to happen now. It's actually us telling you ahead of time what could happen if we don't turn. Mm-hmm. And when you look, I mean, you read Jeremiah, when you think about, you know, Israel and Josiah and his sons, you know, Jehoiachin, Jehoiakim, his uncle Zedekiah, and all these different lineages that was going on in the leadership of Israel, or God's people, that all through that, there was one consistent thing was a ministry called the ministry of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was the consistent theme throughout that. So it's pretty, for example, mm-hmm. I mean, you think about Reverend Billy Graham. His ministry, the theme of his ministry outlasted many presidencies. I mean, where where men were ascending and men were descending, men were being praised for being the next president, and then they were being condemned and taken out of the presidency.
Right.
Presidents came in and were ruled, and then they left.
Right.
But one thing stayed consistent was Reverend Billy Graham's ministry was consistent through all that. So people would refer to him, and they'd bring him into the White House, and they would talk to him. When you read the book of Jeremiah, realize you're listening to a man's ministry who was consistently present during the time that kings came and kings left.
Mm-hmm.
And his ministry was even to the point, he came in, I think, in the 13th year of Josiah, and when Josiah had this encounter, and because of Jeremiah, he had because of the word, and but he also his ministry was consistent all the way into the point where Israel went into the captivity of Babylonian captivity under Zedekiah,
right,
which was totally orchestrated by the Lord. He allowed it to happen, but all throughout that. You know, he says, you know, Jeremiah 25, he's saying again and again, he says, listen, I've sent to you all my servants, the prophets. I've told you all these things. I've told you to turn from these things. I've told you to stop doing these things. And yet you continued not to listen to me. You know, quite often we can confuse listening to God, listening to man and not listening to God. We can say that, I pray to God every day, but those men, those people, you know, I don't listen. I don't listen to those people. You know, and it's like, that's what God does. He sends human beings. He sends prophets. He sends messengers. And he speaks to them pretty much, based on my experience, he puts a man in a pressure cooker. He takes him through all these turmoil and emotions, and so that he or she can feel the heart of God and what's going on. And I think it was one particular man, John, you can help me who it was, Jonathan Edwards probably, that God will hang a man over hell, dangle him over hell, let him have all these emotions of what's going to happen if we don't turn to God.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll lose him, spend the rest of his life trying to explain it. That this is the outcome for us. And what happens close to a society and a large mass of people that are about to bust hell wide open is that's the last thing that's on their mind, because they're normally very religious. They have everything figured out. I mean, think about the Alfred Smith dinner. Mm-hmm. But that is the Catholic. That's predominantly some sort of Catholic. You know, they call him, you know, your eminence, you know, over the area, and that. They're going to raise about $5 million for charity, but you have all of these ungodly, and that means, and don't let anybody take that from you, that the definition of that means they're not following God. No matter what they profess, they're not following God, and they just line them all up. Why for five? It's all about, it boils down to money, and you can't serve God in money, by the way. Just give a little quick little clue right there that... you know, get your heart right in regards to money. And if 97%, according to George Barna, are robbing God, we're going to be sitting at those tables too, trying to acquire some money while we're compromising our walk with God. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. And so anyway, so Jeremiah's ministry was consistent through all that. And I just want to think about that. That means this. Imagine if, you know, Reverend Billy Graham, all of his years of ministry came to a point, and it was a secular media man who God used to be able to puff him to the stage, to be able to, his word was puff Graham to his sister or whatever, when they were in California. You can help me out with the man in the press, John, while I'm continuing on. But he owned all the newspaper, Murdoch. That wasn't Murdoch. It was probably his predecessor. But I'm locking in. I gotta help me out. Y'all wait for me, because my brain is not gonna work. when he did that, the whole world began to focus in on a prophet, on a messenger of God, and they began to listen. But his ministry stayed consistent throughout the time, giving people, you know, the right relationship with God and understanding that. But knowing this, imagine being Reverend Billy Graham, and he did all this ministry, but nobody responded. I mean, he had stadiums, but nobody came. He stepped outside the president's White House, for example, but they didn't let him in. He went by and visited the churches to tell them what was going on, and they didn't even pay attention to Billy Graham. They thought he was... They tried to confine him. They tried to turn him into the local authorities because they thought, hey, you know, he's just messing things up here. And that was Jeremiah's ministry.
Right.
And everybody thought Jeremiah was wrong. But God.
Right.
Because God sent Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. God sent Jeremiah. He was a messenger. He was a servant to be able to speak to him. But he didn't send them to say, hey, you're going to be condemned. He sent Jeremiah to let everybody know and remind everybody, listen, this is all you got to do us right. Which is, it's just so, it's like, oh, if you listen, think about it. If you just listen, you know, if you just listen and apply what God is saying in the context of his warning prior to this taking place. And I'm talking to you about how a ministry, the one thing that was consistent throughout that was a particular ministry. And he says in Jeremiah 25, he says, and though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not listened or paid attention. Now imagine all of Billy Graham's ministry, just as successful as it is, with the exception of one thing. Nobody listened, right, and nobody even paid attention. And the ones who did pay attention,
right.
Right. I believe that gentleman that was used, the reporter, was called William Randolph Hearst.
Right, exactly. William Randolph Hearst. And he just said, you know, Puff Graham. And so God raised, thanks, Johnny, God raised the prophets up to be able to tell his people. And that's what's happening right now. But yet, there's the same kind of response going on. I'm sure even Jeremiah began to think, well, come on. I mean, Noah must have thought, you know, you sure this message is right, God? Because it doesn't seem like, it seems like you've changed, and they're just saying you've changed, and you're no longer the same anymore. And maybe we just need to line up with the culture instead of being a counterculture. And then he goes on and says a little bit more. He says, they said, this is what the prophets or the servants are saying, said, turn now each of you from your own evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave to you and your fathers forever and ever. I was just hearing, you know, in my heart that God's saying, listen, America, listen, church in America, my people, if you just turn, I mean, it's not over till God says it's over. Realize, even though God has a plan of destruction and humbling coming against you, he's telling you ahead of time before it happens so you can turn, so that we can keep the land that came from our forefathers. Who's our forefathers? In America, it's the founding fathers that God touched their hearts for whatever reason in his mercies to be able to give us this country called America and the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. And it was birthed, when you think about it, of course, because people wanted to worship God freely when the pilgrims came over. If you have not yet seen Monumental, you need to go see that, or you need to order the DVD now probably. And you can find out more about that on The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on The Torch. But you just got to grasp this. They're trying to rewrite our history. They've been trying to do it since early 1900s. And we're at the end of this 100-year plan, it looks like.
Right.
And let me think about it. Today, Americans, you can't get them to do something for 100 minutes. And this has been a 100-year plan's been going. It's like, you can say what you want to, but it pretty much looks like ever since Woodrow Wilson. And understand, the progressive people went and got Woodrow. If you got to go back and type in Woodrow, go to the VFN Torch, VFNTV.com, and click on or type in at the upper right hand corner, search for Woodrow. Woodrow. Understand that it didn't look he had any political intentions, you know, that I know of based on the history. But he was a professor. Mm-hmm. He had the ability to speak. People would applaud him when he finished his speeches. And then they went and interviewed him, the people with the Progressive Party, which was a reporter, by the way. And you're looking at media today, how media just seems to be, do you see what's going on? Do you know what's happening? Mm-hmm. And the thing, but what if actually the media is the one that went and got your man?
Mm-hmm.
What if the media is one that sat down and they're the ones, or the people, and understand, we're not talking about reporters and stuff. There is a CEO and a board of directors who's making a lot of money off of this.
Mm-hmm.
They own CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. They own all these things.
Mm-hmm.
They do this because there's commercials in between whatever they say.
Right.
Where they make money, and it looks so identical to. We never crossed our mind that maybe the media is the one that went and the people who are over the media,
mm-hmm. right,
went and interviewed our Woodrow, if you would, and placed him in power.
Right.
And now you're looking at, they really support our Woodrow, don't they? It's like, that's amazing. Even to his demise, you support him. And it's like, it's not even, this is, I talk to people. This is what I talk to
it's
people.
It's embarrassing.
Well, I talk to people and they say, I say, do you really care about this person? Do you love this person? You know, and I begin to share with them some of the things that God has laid on our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And presently, I hear two voices. I hear one voice is just numb, which is a predominant voice. They're quiet because they are liking what this voice gets them.
Mm.
And they really don't care about the man. As long as they get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not really, even though they use people's names, they're not for that person. They're for themselves and they can get from that person.
Right.
Right.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the other person, voice that's hateful and critical and just attacking, and it's just hate. It's a hateful voice. But you know, God tells us, and Paul tells Timothy, he says, pray for every king, everyone, everywhere, because he wishes that everyone would be saved. And so our viewpoint towards our leaders is that we pray for them and we care about them.
Mm-hmm.
We care about their families. We care about protecting them. We care about, not just because of the idea in our country, but that they're human beings, you know?
Right.
And that if you've never been deceived before, you don't know what I'm talking about, but if you've ever, if anybody ever come in and lied to you and you bought into it, I mean, that's a possibility. And God can free. I mean, Peter was trying to correct Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he was used powerfully by Jesus.
Right.
And so we don't know what the Lord's going to do, but we do know this, that God puts people in places. He directs the king's hearts like a water course, that Jehoiakim, the very name Jehoiakim means set man, God's set man. God put Jehoiakim in place, and that our present leaders, we can pray for them and knowing that God set them in place. Because he goes on to say in Jeremiah 25, he says that, of course, the messengers, the prophets came to, God's servants came to us, his people.
Right.
And, of course, he said, turn away. He said, turn away from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land forever that your forefathers gave you. Do not follow other gods. Right. This is very important. What does that mean? Money. Right now, if we just knock out the money god,
mm-hmm.
and we burn the money god, I mean, we'll get a lot of people back.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll start like, where's my money god? It's burned. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I've seen it burn. I literally had a vision. God showed me the paper money burning, which is great. You know, speaking about the burning man, how about the burning god money?
Right.
And so do not follow other gods to serve or worship them. Worship. What's worth more to you? If 97%, like I said, are robbing God of his tithes and offerings, then someone's 97% are saying money's worth more than God. They're serving the God money.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a noun, by the way, not a verb. And so he says, do not provoke me to anger with what your hands have made. It took everything, very seldom there's very few people that make things happen. And mm-hmm. so they just use things that happen or experience things that happen. But there's somebody behind that that thought it through, that designed it, that made it, that laid it out and took their hands in their mind with whatever motives, good or bad, and they began to form and they made that. And it was something made by hands. And he says right here, he says, do not follow other gods to serve or worship them. Do not provoke me to anger with what your hands have made. And so you look at computers and cell phones and media and mm-hmm. I mean the whole visual experience and the tactile experience with this imagery, that, you know, what priority does it take in your life? And you look at people in regards to, they have a strong relationship with their phone. Mm-hmm. They have a strong relationship with that. When the power goes out, you start seeing people try to get to their cars. You see young people especially trying to find a place to plug their phone in, just stay in their connectivity, what's going mm-hmm. on. You have school systems turning off the internet and watching them freak out. And it's just this odd relationship with things that our hands have made. And he says, don't provoke me to anger with the things that your hands have made. Mm-hmm. That was one of the stipulations to survive in the land that your forefathers gave you. And right now, so many things. So we have to understand, connect that all this internet and programs and computers and all these, the media, your television, whether it's streaming or broadcasting or digital or analog, that it's just something that was made by human hands is what it is. Mm-hmm. And the script that they're reading, even the talking heads,
right,
who are really reading, it's amazing. You watch them, they can just kind of rewrite their lines and they'll just start reading. Somebody messed up my prompter. I look like a fool. No. The fact that you are a fool just came out because right. you've been reading that like you and acting like that was you all along, but it right. was five writers in the back that were submitted to the CEO and the board mm-hmm. of directors who had a purpose for this thing called media and what they were going to do with it.
Right.
And so you look at that and so, I mean, we have a big turn to take. He says, turn away from this. And we can take things that our hand has made and provoke God with it. You can provoke God with it. What you do with it, you can provoke him. Mm-hmm. And I see God being provoked. I'm watching, I mean, obviously everybody's sinned and fallen short and everybody's made a mistake. And hopefully, you know, we'll get out there soon. You know, Jeff Bethke, some of the things that he's done on, and we talked about sexuality. As a matter of fact, when I was going to listen to that segment, it's a beautiful segment called The 2050 Crisis, The Church and Pornography. You got to check it out on the VFN Torch. I listened to the whole thing and you can have the whole segment there, and I was always concerned about that because how it mm-hmm. came over, and I think it came over in a way that you can it will really help you mm-hmm. and help other people. Was a lot of wisdom and nothing's taking you that's not common to man, and be free, you know, be free from that. Mm-hmm. But you know, ministers are who are over God's people are openly posting things on their Facebooks and things like that where people say, I'm a minister and I'm putting this out there. Now the open, like there's no gap, there's no I mean, okay. This is like if you see a roach in the daytime, they say mm-hmm. there's like a million of them at night.
All right.
And it's like, did you just post that half-naked woman on your Facebook when you've been allowed, sir, let me explain something. You've been allowed mm-hmm. to, for whatever reason, to lead God's people. Mm-hmm. You know, understand that's they're his people.
Right.
And you've been allowed for whatever reason to be there. And that you would put something up like that where this woman has tattoos all down her back. And it's like, it's a naked woman. And he's like, you're the minister.
Wow.
You're the minister. And if you're doing mm-hmm. that, I mean, you just wrote a ticket to everybody. I'm not saying that, you know, you just don't do that.
Right.
And so this is what he says. He says, you know, don't provoke me to anger with what your hands have made. He says, this is what he says, and then I won't harm you.
Mm.
This is God. Then I won't harm you. Mm. God doesn't. Listen, every good father is going to discipline, and it's going to be harmful. Mm-hmm. Unless you listen. Discipline is about changing behavior. So if you change the behavior before the discipline has applied, there's no need for the discipline, because discipline is about changing behavior. It's not what the devil's turned it in today and how they've twisted it and turned it. And what you have is a large group of people in America who does not want to receive correction, so they just make every form of discipline as a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. It's second heaven doing all that. But he says, God said, then I won't harm you. I mean, this is the Lord that says, when I send a plague on my people, when I send locusts to devour your crops, when I bring famine in the land, if my people who are called by my name, he says, listen, if you'll listen to me, this is what he's saying in Jeremiah 25. Mm-hmm. He says, I won't harm you. I won't harm you. And right now, I can see everybody kind of settling in their nests and hunkering down and going, just got to wait this couple days out. You know, there's going to be a save-all election coming up. And they're just, you know, oh, we got it. It's like, no, not based on what God is telling us. Mm-hmm. Not what God's telling. And I do pray, because you understand that these were God's servants, prophets, and they were doing just, God was allowing them in on what he was going to do. So all they know, they only know in part and prophesy in part. Mm-hmm. It was God's whole story, and they were just a part of it.
Right.
And the outcome of it, like Jonah to Nineveh, Jonah's going around telling everybody in Nineveh, you know, you are going to die if you don't repent. It's going to be burned down. The city's going to be burned down. It's going to be terrible and da-da-da. And they say, we believe you.
Mm-hmm.
We believe you, and they repented. And so then Jonah goes, sits on a hill and starts, I then went out there and told everybody, you know, fire and brimstone is going to come from heaven, and this is going to happen. The economy is going to crash, and you forgave them. And now it's like, Jonah, this is not about you. This is not about you. Remember, I got you out of the belly of the whale when I brought you into this thing. Right. This is about me, God. You're my servant, Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
And don't worry about, just do what God, and what God is saying, what we're hearing is that, and others are hearing as well, and you can find out about update on the storm and even preparing for the storm in the menu of the VFN Torch. You can go there and look at it, or on VFNTV.com. And this is still not going to be good.
Mm.
It's not going to be good. And for the very fact that if we are provoking God, think about this.
Huh.
If we're already using the things that we've made to provoke him, listen, 97% of us are stealing from Daddy. We're robbing from God. We're stealing from Abba, which way we're saying money's God. We're saying Baal is God. When we actually, the work of our hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we use the work of your hands to provoke me. And when you think that your hope is in another king, your hope is in somebody, even to the point of that preaches another Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know, somebody have a reasonable conversation with me, please. And you tell me how this actually works, because everything in God's word contradicts the reality of what the church is presently accepting today. But if only 19 or less than 20% are reading their Bible, it makes sense, according to George Barna, less than 20% are reading their Bible, and only 3% are really abiding with God in it, is that we'll buy anything. If we don't know the roadmap, we'll buy anything. And I'm not saying that Governor Mitt Romney is not a good man and a good businessman or anything of that nature. And he might be a good leader, because we're not publicly talking openly about supporting the candidate. But in regards to his faith, that when you have another book coming from an angel, you know, that gives you, understand this, Satan is an angel. He's a fallen angel.
Mm-hmm.
And when he fell, and you can actually go to VFN TV and you can watch this. Another Jesus, called another Jesus. Because Paul said, if anybody preaches to you another Jesus, and it'll give you some insight. And you really want, if your desire and hope is that people would find Jesus, you're really wanting it to be right. Because you're, oh, I hope they're preaching the right Jesus, because this is really great. I found somebody else, you know, preaching Jesus. This is great. But then when an angel comes and gives you a new additional book to the Bible, when the very last words of the Bible, the revelation of Christ, is if anybody adds to this, let him be accursed. Let the curses of this book come upon him.
Right.
By the way, it's hellfire and brimstone, suffering with its terrible things that come. That, and he said, you know, This Lucifer is an angel. He's a fallen angel. And when he got thrown out of heaven, one third of the angels fell out with him, got thrown out with him. They followed him over God, which means, listen, you can be standing in the presence of God and follow Satan.
Mm-hmm.
But don't think, you know, oh, I got this thing all figured out. Humility is our hope. But then, so when you have, here's somebody say, an angel met me and gave me another book, it is a probability that one of these angels, you know, we're not going to talk about Nephilim now, but one of these angels appeared to Joseph Smith in upstate New York and gave him these little golden templates, deceived him and thinking these Egyptian writings about one family was about all these different, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It can happen. You can't say, hey, you didn't see an angel. The question is, which angel was it? Which messenger was it? And if they're preaching to you another Jesus, and if you saw God as a man, and God's a spirit, by the way, he's not a man. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the man, all God. So he's looking at God and he's looking at Jesus, he said, and they're both are human beings. You know, that's not God. And so there's more to that. You can go out and just type in, you know, Mormonism or Mormon and the VFN Torch. We did all that early on to try to get a perspective. We didn't start with any agenda. You know, I started with, I really hope this is good. Yeah. I hope, oh, please. I'm like, but you're thinking, but I got this big, huge thing called the other revelation of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so an angel gave, I'm talking about, you know, your repentance. We're not going to repent by a fallen angel giving somebody a book and following that book.
Right.
Even if it's good, even if it's a good idea, it's still not a God idea for a demon to give somebody a book.
Right.
A demon, a fallen angel, powers, principalities, and spiritual wickedness. And somebody says, well, you know, but this particular demon delivered a real good book. I mean, this is a good one. I mean, even though the King's English at this particular time, when these tablets were written, that Joseph was interpreting under the leadership of Moroni, I believe, or the angel, Mormon angel, that's Mormon, it's an angel, that he uses the King James English in the Book of Mormon. You know, of course, they can actually revise it under their rules of the organization. And, but it wasn't even invented yet, which means he was actually reading the Bible and applying principles to it. In addition to that, when you look at it, it's like, this is like the masonry. I mean, this is like Masons. And you work your way to different levels and you get different rites. When you go there, you go to the temple and you get your rites. If you look at Masons, it's just this whole good idea, man's good idea to keep a people righteous, it looks like, you know. But the whole thing is, then how can you openly speak against Islam when Islam, you know, you have Muhammad who says that he met an angel. He met an angel, and the angel was Michael the archangel, and he gave him a book. And the book that Michael gave, the archangel gave Muhammad, according to their beliefs, was the Quran.
Right.
How is that any different than how is the Quran any different than the Mormon Bible?
Right.
Both of them talk about Jesus, but they talk about another Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about another Jesus.
Right.
And so, and we're talking, you know, VFN Radio is for the church, which are people who are believers. It's for those that have gone astray, you know, who once were walking with God. And it's for those who are being drawn to God to encourage you. So we're not talking to the world. We're not talking to people who are not going to, have made up their mind, they're not going to be Christ followers. They're not going to be Christian.
Right.
And they're not anything to do with God. So, you know, you can turn it off. You know, this is not to you. So there's no reason for you to take offense. We're talking to the church. We're talking to the believers, not buildings, organizations, and all that. That how can you speak against Islam while you embrace Mormonism? It's another Jesus.
That's right.
And one particular former follower of Mormonism, you know, said, even if it's the best thing ever invented, kind of paraphrase, even if it's the best thing ever invented, it's still invented. But, you know, this is not a theocracy in America, and you can have anybody, you know, lead it. But understand this, in the context of where we are and the eyes in which we live under, which is the eyes of God, with 97% Robin Father, and we're in this condition because the church has sinned, not the world has sinned, and we're thinking, ah, we can continue robbing God and living this way and using things that we've made with our hands to provoke God, and we can continue this thing on, and we're just going to flip a lever for another Jesus. That's another provoking. That's understand this. If you've ever been a parent or a father and somebody shows up and says, hey, I'm going to continue this relationship with you, but I'm going to pick this other family to do it with. I'm going to pick this other father. I mean, that's so great. I'm just glad that you're giving everybody the impression that you're still with his son, mm-hmm. that you're still with his daughter, right?
Right.
Is that what you're going to say? You're not going to say that, are you?
No.
You're going to say, you convince everybody you want to, but we know your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not about America. This is about a church in America who is provoking God, and God is sending. We're telling you now that we can turn around. Mm-hmm. And understanding that our hope is not in a man. It's in the man, Jesus Christ, and turning, not just acknowledging him, but turning him. And I'm going to talk to you in a moment. If we get back from this break, is understanding that what's going to come next if we don't is not good. And another servant of God is going to come into the picture, and his name is Nebuchadnezzar, and God calls him my servant. Be right back.
You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ when I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about. You know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love, and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org. Hey, John, I actually just got an iPhone. Do you have an iPhone?
You know I do.
Really? Why'd you get an iPhone?
Well, I got an iPhone because I want to stay connected with my friends, family, and of course, I love those apps.
Apps? Tell me what? Tell me about the apps.
Well, apps, Steve. Come on, I gotta bring you 21st century.
Yeah, no, I'm
apps
behind.
Apps is a way that you can stay connected. I want you to know now that VFN Radio, we actually have an app where all of our radio listeners can download onto their phones. Now, whether you have an iPhone or you have an Android phone, we got you covered.
Wow.
You can go to the App Store for the iPhone or Google Play for your Android, type in the word VFN TV, and then download. And what that does is it allows you to take VFN Radio on the go. What do I mean? Listen, I enjoy listening on my computer, but sometimes I want to get in the car. You want to go to the beach, hang out with some friends, take your phone with you, select your VFN TV radio app, and you have all this access to live program. You have access to video content, messages, and so much more. I like to say it's VFN Radio on the go. I encourage you to download the app now. Go to your App Store or Google Play and type in VFN TV.
You know, John, when I'm listening to the VFN radio program, I am so encouraged. Mm-hmm. And I listen to it, and you got the first hour. There's that break. You go right. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm air guitaring. During that intro, when it's coming down, all of our VFN radio listeners, it is okay to air guitar.
No, that's right.
Because as far as I know, I've got that solo mastered, and if you know it, I'm rocking that air guitar. But when that segment's over, I'm like, man, I gotta wait until tomorrow to hear the next program. And I'm like, oh, all right, okay. Well, if you haven't heard yet, if you don't know yet, you can listen to a program back to back to back. You can listen to five programs back to back to back and listen to the marathon weekend. You might be listening to the Monday's program or the Tuesday's program, and then you got to wait 24 hours the next one. Well, you can listen to all five programs with no breaks in between. So check out the whole weekend marathon, Saturday, 9 a.m. Central until Monday, 9 a.m. Central. the weekend marathon.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today. What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them. where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We were just talking about, or I was just talking about the how God's servants, he sends his people to be able to try to prevent trouble or a disaster coming our way. He's just so merciful. God is so merciful that he just sends people. If we don't understand the ways of God, we'll do what Israel did and not pay attention. Or listen to, what God is doing. We'll misunderstand what He's doing.
All right.
And so, with that understanding, that if we understand the ways of God, we go, "Wow, God's loving on me. God's loving on me. He's not wanting this to happen to me."
Right.
Father God is not wanting this trouble to come to me. He wants us to have America. That our forefathers gave us. He wants us to have this.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't provoke him with the things our hands have made.
Right. I mean,
if you take away everything men's hands have made in America, all you have left is the dirt.
Yeah, that's it.
You have left what God has made. And so with that, understand that this is a loving God telling us that he wants us to keep our land.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's important.
And you know what? It's important that we listen to those that God is sending to us. You know what I mean? I mean, think about if Nineveh didn't listen to Jonah, if you know, the church just doesn't listen, if we don't get approach to what God is saying to his people, then we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. It's not because he didn't tell us. It's because maybe we weren't listening, we weren't paying attention, or maybe we wanted to hear something else. It's amazing what you don't hear when you don't want to hear this certain truth. You know what I mean? It's like, wait a second. We need to say, God, whatever you want to say, I'm listening.
Well, and the thing about it is that God is loving on us when he tells us, when he tells us that these things are happening, he's warning us, he's letting us know mm-hmm. that I love you and I don't want this to happen. And he's just so merciful, he's so kind. It's like, pay attention. Mm-hmm. Lord, help me to be a man who pays attention to you. Lord, help me to be someone who's willing to check myself. Mm-hmm. Lord, help me to be a man that continually abides with you and understands your heart. And listen, the longer you don't abide with God, the longer you don't spend time with him, the more you begin to believe the lies about him. And these lies are meant to divide you from the knowledge of his love for you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what Jesus Christ is and was there in his ministry and is today, and he's empowered his ministry on earth and our ministry now through him, is to make the Father known, his love known to you. And so you got to hang out with your daddy. So the enemy don't lie to you about your daddy. If you don't hang out with your daddy, you're going to start believing what the accuser says about Abba.
Mm-hmm.
He says, call him Abba Father. That means daddy father.
Right.
If you'll start listening to people who say things that are not true. You'll listen to the accuser who's accusing Father God to you. And you can't do that because this is going to divide you from the knowledge of the love that God has for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so he says, listen to me. So these warnings are taking place. And then he says, you know, on in Jeremiah 25, he says, because you wouldn't listen to me, he says, if you'll do this, I won't bring this harm to you. But of course, if you don't, I'm going to. And then he says in verse 8, he says, therefore, the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
So don't throw away the truth because people don't listen to you. Just be faithful with it. Realize that don't define your success by people's response to God's truth. You just stay faithful to God's truth and let God do whatever he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't join in with the rebellion. Just stay faithful. You may live in a season like Jeremiah that you have to walk around in constant shock and awe. Mm-hmm. You're going like, oh my, is this real? Mm-hmm. And he says, because you would not listen to my words, he says, this is God now. Remember, he's the one that sends the storms. We talk about if my people are called by my name. Back up a little bit. He says, when I do these things to you and harm you, turn to me. Mm-hmm. And he says, because you wouldn't listen to me, I will summons all the people of the north and my servant Nebuchadnezzar. Mm. And my servant, the king of Babylon. People go, I don't understand. I can't. That couldn't be God, you know, using the Iranian president to get our attention. It's like wrong.
Oh, yeah?
Absolutely wrong. Now, while I'm looking this up, John, pronounce his name for me.
Yeah, right.
Ahmadinejad.
The Iranian president.
I was just messing with you.
Ahmud. Chris does it really good, but I don't have it down quite yet.
Ahmadinejad.
Ahmadinejad. There it is. Ahmadinejad. See?
That was a good try.
When you put that on the humor clips, I'll just need some time. Thanks. The in Romans, he says, my servant. He calls Nebuchadnezzar. You have to understand, the only way you can compare Nebuchadnezzar to, you would compare him to Satan.
Pretty close. Yeah.
Pharaoh. You know, doing all these idol worshiping and all this. You know, he's not a Christian, but he's very religious. He's all kinds of gods and stuff. But he says in Romans, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Rome and letting them know, and went to the church at large, and they broke it up in chapters, the letter. Mm-hmm. So the religious knows it. Paul didn't say chapter one, verse one of my letter. You know, it was a letter. It was a letter. In his letter, he wrote, and you can see it in chapter 12, verse. Chapter 13. Mm-hmm. Chapter 13, verse one. He says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority. Now, what is no? How much is no?
None.
Yeah. There is no authority that exists. There's no authority except that which God has established. And those who rebel against it rebel against what God has established. Consequently, he who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. He says, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Mm. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended for it. For he is God's servant. They didn't say he was a Christian. Mm-mm. For he is God's servant to do you good.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he goes on to say, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. An agent of wrath.
Wow, imagine that.
And so we're looking over here in Jeremiah 25. He says, listen, I am going to summons my servant, my agent of wrath. And his name is Nebuchadnezzar. Mm. We have to understand this, that God will use that which is out of control to bring his people in control. Don't think that God's not orchestrating a storm here against his own people who will refuses to stop robbing him and refuses to listen to him and understand that we can't, and then throws all of our chips behind somebody who's talking about another Jesus. I'm not talking about he wouldn't be a good president or anything like that. I'm just saying, you got to openly say, hey, I'm not for his Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Neither one of their Jesuses that they're for. I'm for Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus.
Right.
The one and only that the Bible talks about. And the Jesus of the Bible.
Right.
And he says, this is my servant Nebuchadnezzar, which means God was going to use Nebuchadnezzar because God's people would not listen. Do you really think that God cannot use Iran to get your attention, America? Do you really think throwing all your chips behind somebody that you know, that's why American church is struggling with this, because it's a no-brainer if it's the same Jesus. But the very fact that it's a different Jesus, everything in your spirit man's going, oh, but how is this going to balance out on the scales of heaven? And so then you reason with yourself, and then you reason with society, and then you make a decision, but your spirit man still says, but it's another Jesus. Mm-hmm. but it's another Jesus.
Right.
And this is a test. This is a test. Mm-hmm. Our answer is not a political answer. He didn't say, listen, Israel, if you'll just vote the right people in, it doesn't matter what you do. He said, no, we have to repent. He says, but I'll send my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against the surrounding nations and will completely destroy them. This is how he's treating his people. And then make them an object of horror and scorn and an everlasting ruin. Mm. Somebody says, well, God's got a covenant with America. Well, this is Israel. Yeah. This is Israel. He says, I will banish from them the sounds of joy. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I will banish from them the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of the bride and the bridegroom, the sound of millstones, which is business functioning on a day-to-day basis, economy's moving, and the light of the lamp. The whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Hmm. Think about it.
All right.
We have to repent. It's not a political answer. We're here to tell you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not get a grid like a map grid, latitude and longitude. Don't get a grid for God based off this culture. Get one based on his word, the Bible, not another Bible, not another book, not another encounter with some angel that added to or took away from the present word. Get a grid for God and understand that we have to repent. We've done a lot of things with our hands. And listen, everybody sinned, but the difference is, and some and probably you, is that they've repented and you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
You may talk about what they've done in the past, but if they're walking right before God, they will be able to live and stand in the day of disaster, but you will fall lest you repent.
That's right.
So I want to encourage you. All of this that's being said is that God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for your life. And that we have to turn. He says, I will give you the land that you'll live in forever, that your forefathers, that you've received from your forefathers, and you won't be thrown out of it. Do you want America? The answer is not political. The answer is the First Amendment of the Constitution that gives us the right to repent and preach and follow Jesus Christ as our Lord. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.